You're back with The Globalist, now on Monocle 24.
Here in the UK, the clocks went back on Sunday night. And just like clockwork, a debate began about whether we should stick to Greenwich Mean Time or switch to Berlin Time, 1 hour ahead in winter, 2 ahead in summer. And it's not only the UK where choosing the right time zone is political as much as a business issue. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev moved Russia's time zones 1 hour east, while in Samoa the Prime Minister shifted his country's time zone from the end of one day to the start of the next. Historian Aaron Kamail is the author of I'm Working While They're Sleeping. I caught up with him last night, well, yesterday afternoon, his time, to talk time zones. Professor Kamail, thanks for joining us today. David Cameron is suggesting that Britain may have to change its time zone. In Russia, President Medvedev has altered time zones there. Why are time zones so tricky for countries to get right?
There are a few reasons, of course, and I'll start with one that's particularly dear to my heart. These days, so much of our economies are wrapped up with each other, and so the issue of coordinating across time zones is much more serious than it was just a generation ago. And so if the typical knowledge worker, the information worker, a generation ago, of course, looked at his or her watch, but they didn't have to coordinate across time zones as much as they do today. And that's the key difference between today and 20, 25 years ago.
And so which countries have the best time zones, the ones that make it easiest for businesses to operate successfully?
Yeah, that's funny that you ask. Well, I've traveled to many countries around the world, and every country says that we have the best time zone. So it's.
But in your humble opinion?
No one has the best time zone. But it depends on the task, of course. One of my colleagues figured out that if you weigh the GDP in various countries and then you weight them by distance, then the best time zone is in India because it's the center. It's in the middle of most of the GDP of the world, about median way. So we across the pond here in the United States, we're actually further from the most of the GDP of the world, and therefore we're in a less important time zone.
And turning to here where I'm in the UK and this discussion about whether Britain should shift its time zone, do you think that changing time zones would actually have an impact on a country's economy?
I think that in terms of the coordination costs, I don't think it will have any impact. I think the impact is in the more traditional reasons why countries shift their time zone a little bit, one notch to the east, or experiment with daylight savings time. It's the issue of having more light at the end of the day, more time after work, perhaps not turning on the lights in the evening. Those resonate with me as perhaps having a more significant impact on the economy.
And in your book, I'm Working While They're Sleeping, you outline some of the challenges and also the solutions to dealing with time zones. Could you just give us a couple of examples of good solutions of dealing with this issue?
Well, the number one solution is time shifting. Time shifting means that if you're working with me here across the pond, you stay late after work in order to overlap with me, or alternatively, I get up fairly early in the morning and do conference calls with you when it's still morning and dark outside, so that I overlap with London time. So time shifting is really the number one solution. We call it the mother of all solutions.
And is that something that you practice yourself in your own work? Do you sort of shift the hours of the day that you work so that you can, for example, speak to people in Europe, while also making sure you're not working ridiculously long hours?
We all do. You do too as a journalist, I'm sure, all the time, almost every day. In fact, and that's, again, the difference between this generation and the previous generation. In the previous generation, there's an elite of maybe a few hundred thousand people who really cared about differences in time zones. Now it's millions of people, probably tens of millions of people, really care about the daily difference in time zones.
That was Aaron Kamail talking to me last night.